This is BYU Idaho Radio. I'm Virginia Henry.
And I'm Brandon Isle, and this is Tell Me About It. Coming up in the next half hour of our new program, Thanksgiving is less than a week away, and then it's Black Friday.
They want to be pulling you in on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, right. Thursday.
Where you can go to find the deals you're looking for.
But you'll want to save some of your money for Small Business Saturday.
I think it's important we all work together, and that's why I love Small Business Saturdays, where we can all come together and shop locally.
We talked to some local businesses about what it means to shop local.
And new technology in our vehicles could cost you when it comes to repairs.
Sometimes even a simple maintenance like a wheel alignment can change the position of those sensors and cameras just enough that they might not perform the way they're intended.
Why you may want the new tech anyway.
These stories and more are coming up in Tell Me About It. But first, the news.
Live from the newsroom at BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Brianna Willis. Pocatello Police investigators are searching for two suspects who shot a man in his home. Pocatello dispatchers received a 911 call around 2:20 this morning. When officers arrived, they found a 55-year-old man who had been shot in the stomach by two home intruders. The man was taken to Portneuf Medical Center. Investigators say two suspects may have attempted to commit a burglary at a nearby business when the victim possibly saw the crime in progress, which resulted in them forcing entry into his home and shooting him once in the stomach before running away. The Pocatello Police Department is looking for a Hispanic man wearing a blue mask and a hat, also a Caucasian male wearing jeans and an orange and cream-colored shirt or coat. If you have any information about this crime, call the Pocatello Police Department at 208-234-6121. Just a reminder to those who live in certain parts of Rexburg, you'll need to prepare for a planned power outage on Sunday. Rocky Mountain Power says the outage will affect about 1,700 customers who live between 7th South and Main Street and 5th West and Highway 20. The work is to upgrade some power line structures. Dave Eskelson with Rocky Mountain Power says they've been replacing an existing power line with a higher capacity power line. This line goes from Rigby to Rexburg. This Sunday, crews will replace a structure that will require Rocky Mountain Power to de-energize the power to customers.
Generally, there's no good time for everyone for an outage of this length, but in some cases where we're expanding the capacity of our system to serve customers locally in Rexburg and in other areas in southeastern Idaho, these kinds of projects are necessary. Rarely, but it does happen.
The power will be out from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Rocky Mountain Powers. The power will be out from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Rocky Mountain Power says it tried to contact all customers who would be affected by the outage. Eskelson told the Standard Journal that if you didn't receive a phone call or other notice last weekend, you're probably not affected. Idaho's unemployment rate is holding steady at 2.7%. The Idaho Department of Labor today said the state's jobless rate in October was the same as September and is the 14th consecutive month at or below 3%. The agency says the number of people in the state age 16 or older working or looking for work is at 853,000. The labor force participation rate is 63.5%. The Republican-controlled House has passed a bill to drop legal protections for gray wolves across the lower 48 states, reopening a lengthy battle over the predator species. Long despised by farmers and ranchers, wolves were shot, trapped, and poisoned out of existence in most of the U.S. by the mid-20th century. Since securing protections in the 1970s, wolves have bounced back in the western Great Lakes states of Michigan, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, as well as in the northern Rockies and Pacific Northwest, where they were reintroduced in the 1990s. The Fish and Wildlife Service is reviewing the wolf status and is expected to declare they've recovered sufficiently to be removed from protections under the Endangered Species Act. The House bill enshrines that policy in law. It was approved 196-180 and now goes to the Senate. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has announced some changes to the recommendation process for young missionary candidates. Starting January 2nd, 2019, All young men and women in the United States and Canada will use the same online recommendation process. This will include those who may not be able to serve a mission due to health issues. Elder Dale G. Rinlin of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles explains how this works.
They live at home, serve locally. They serve in church operations or in community functions. Their call will be from the prophet. They will apply, just like every other missionary, to full-time missionary service.
These expanded opportunities will allow more young people to serve as missionaries in various capacities that meet their personal needs or circumstances. We have more information about the change on our Facebook page, just like BYU Idaho Radio. Idaho Governor-elect Brad Little has named his campaign manager as his chief of staff. Little says Zach Hauge knows how to best assist Little in carrying out his goals for Idaho. Before joining Little's campaign, Hauge was vice president at the Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry. Hauge says it's an honor and privilege to be Little's chief of staff. I'm Brianna Willis, and this is BYU Idaho Radio.
Thanks, Brianna. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Brandon Isle.
And I'm Virginia Henry. Tonight, we have a chance of rain and snow showers with lows in the teens and 20s. Right now, it's 45 degrees in Rexburg, 48 in Idaho Falls, 54 in Pocatello, and 41 in Jackson.
Tickets are on sale now for BYU Idaho's annual Christmas concert. The featured guest this year is two-time Tony winner Brian Stokes Mitchell. The concert also features BYU Idaho's Symphony Orchestra, the Men's and Women's Choir, Vocal Union, and dancers from the College of Performing and Visual Arts. The concert is Saturday, December 1st at 7:30 in the BYU Idaho Center. Tickets are $12 for the general public and $6 for BYU Idaho students. You can get them at the BYU Idaho ticket office or online at byui.edu/tickets.
Coming up, there's a lot of dancing going on at BYU Idaho. And this weekend, students are showing off their skills. The excitement surrounding extravadance is just ahead.
But first, new tech in our vehicles is meant to keep us safe. But is it worth the additional costs? What the experts say next.
Tune in this Friday for a brand new show from BYU Idaho Radio. It's called Tell Me About It.
With winter rapidly approaching,
BYU Idaho provides students with free tutoring, skills class.
Creation for Kidsburg came from Daniel Torres, the economic development.
Every Friday afternoon at 4 on BYU Idaho Radio, 94.3 FM.
You're listening to BYU Idaho Radio, and this is Tell Me About It. I'm Brandon Isle.
And I'm Virginia Henry. A new study from AAA explains that with advancements in new vehicle technology, repair costs are higher than people bargain for. Student reporter Rachel Winder has the story.
The technology in our cars have come a long way. Like lane keeping assist or parking assist can help drivers every day. But when you end up in a fender bender, you might be surprised by the repair bill coming back. Matthew Condi from AAA Idaho explains that people love the new features from their cars, but not so much when they need to take it to the repair shop.
If you have a small fender bender or a side swipe or anything even minor, sometimes even a simple maintenance like a wheel alignment, can change the position of those sensors and cameras just enough that they might not perform the way they're intended.
Condi says buyers need to be more aware of the actual cost of these features, including how much sensors cost.
Ask how these safety systems work. Go to the dealer and find out for yourself how they work and ask for a demonstration.
I went down to Stone's Toyota in Rexburg and met with Jonathan Wessel to test drive this advanced Toyota technology.
So the steering assist is actually what's going to kind of take control of the wheel and move you back into the lane. So it doesn't particularly drive itself because you can grab the wheel and override it.
Then he talks to me about the Jeep Cherokee.
It's got parking assist.
Wow,
so
awesome.
So basically it'll park itself.
We got in the car and headed towards the highway to check out the feature that steers you back into your lane when you've drifted. When the coast was clear, Wessel told me to let go of the steering wheel. The car started drifting to the side of the road and the sensors went off. Then the steering wheel corrected the car back into the lane. We headed back to Stone's Toyota to check out the parking assist on the Jeep. I drove the Jeep into a parking lot.
Okay, now stop. Now we're going to turn on the parking.
The car only wanted to park assist me in a spot that had a car on either side of it. After a scan for that spot, I just had to shift into the right gears, and it did the rest.
The steering wheel is like spinning.
Yeah, take your foot off the brake a little.
I put the car in reverse, and working with the brake, the car slowly backed up. When it got too close to the other car, I shifted into drive, and the steering wheel automatically corrected the car's position forward. Finally, the car parked itself perfectly in the middle between two cars. Remember that AAA's Matthew Condi says it's important for consumers to know the technology in their car? Even for Toyotas, there are two different advanced technology. For example, one system has the driver steer back when the beeper indicates that the car has drifted out of the lane. The other system has steering assist, where the steering wheel gets the car back into the lane. If you know what system your car comes with, Condi says that can save you a lot of money in repairs.
We've already seen reports of people who are reading books, watching movies, and they are slamming into other cars and losing their lives.
Please just drive with awareness, and we can avoid accidents altogether. There are also concerns about the future of this area of driving, where one day there will be cars that completely drive themselves on Idaho roads. Governor Butch Otter has a proactive committee for these autonomous vehicles. Jennifer Gonzalez, the spokesperson for Idaho Transportation Department, and Chief Bill Bones from Idaho's Chief of Police Association are both part of that committee. We talked about some concerns they go over, particularly like how sometimes electronics will just shut off and restart randomly.
Could that potentially happen when you're driving 65 miles an hour on the interstate in an autonomous and connected vehicle?
They also talked about the advantage of advanced technology cars.
But the semi-autonomous, the driver assist, that's something that you're going to see every year increasing in the vehicles that are out there on the roads. And that should be of assistance to us in creating a safer driving atmosphere.
Professor Josh Tollefson at BYU-Idaho agrees with Chief Bones. Tollefson works in the largest automotive bachelor's program in the United States. Yep, that's at BYU-Idaho, where students are learning to solve problems in cars, including advanced technology cars. Tollefson says he believes the benefits of advanced tech cars are priceless.
All of these things save lives, and yeah, they are expensive, but I think it's worth it. And the vehicle will protect itself, and you won't have as many problems with them getting in wrecks because they're going to prevent those accidents from happening.
He pulls up a recent research published by AAA talking about how cars with driver assist could have prevented almost 10,000 deaths in 2016.
When airbags first came out in vehicles, people were afraid of them. But now we see that they save lives. People don't really complain about the cost of airbags anymore. The same thing I think is going to happen with these sensors on vehicles.
In addition to preventing deaths, these new tech cars could prevent 2.7 million of the 7 million crashes in 2016. That's 40% of all crashes in 2016. The technology found in new cars may be more expensive and also costly in repairs, but it's worth it in the lives and preventable crashes it can save. For BYU-Idaho Radio, I'm Rachel Winder.
Rachel joins us live in the studio now. Rachel, I think we see new cars on the road and hear about the new technology, but what's the bottom line? Tell me about it.
It's really about safety. Like all the experts I talk to, they say the number one cause for accidents is human error. People, they don't pay attention on the road and they veer off or they slam into other people or pedestrians. So these autonomous vehicles can really, really butt in where they need to and save lives.
You had the opportunity to drive one of these cars. So what was it like driving it when it had those safety features turned on?
Oh, man, it was surreal. I felt like I was in a sci-fi movie because I'm not touching the steering wheel at all and it's just moving by itself. I really felt safe. Like, I didn't feel like there was anything that was out of my control because anytime I wanted to, I could just grab the steering wheel and just correct it myself.
Thanks, Rachel.
This week, the chairman of the Northwestern Band of the Shoshone Nation came to BYU-Idaho to talk about his people, the Bear River Massacre of 1863, and his efforts to build an interpretive center in southeast Idaho. Darren Perry is the chairman. I talked to him about the Interpretive Center. He says it was 155 years ago when federal troops killed more than 400 people of his band of the Shoshone Nation. About 100 to 150 survived. They later joined the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Little is spoken about that massacre today, which happened not far from Preston, Idaho. He wants to change that by building an interpretive center on the sacred land.
I always tell people, I really forgive all the atrocities that happened, but it doesn't mean I need to forget. And so that interpretive center will be able to help us tell our story from our perspective.
Earlier this year, he purchased 550 acres, and just last week, he purchased another piece of land in the area of the massacre that his people now own, 700 acres. He says he wants to buy one more small parcel. The Interpretive Center will take $5 million to build. If you'd like to help, go to the website boaogai.org. We'll get that on our Facebook page, just like BYU Idaho Radio.
This weekend, we have sunny skies with highs in the upper 30s with lows in the teens. Right now, it's 42 degrees in Rexburg, 48 in Idaho Falls, 54 in Pocatello, and 40 in Jackson, Wyoming.
The Madison Library Foundation is sponsoring its annual Autumn Book Drive. Please bring book donations to the Madison Library on 73 North Center in Rexburg, now through December 8th. They especially need books for children and youth. These donations help to supply the library, as well as the Wishing Well bookstore inside the library.
Coming up, don't forget that next Saturday is Small Business Saturday. It's your chance to support the locally owned mom-and-pop shops.
Plus, we'll talk about Black Friday on our Media Matters segment. This is Tell Me About It on BYU Idaho Radio. We'll be right back.
From songs about the sun and moon to food, money, and the seven seas, jazz has got it all. I'm Andrew Gordon, and join me as we look at the wide variety of themes and subgenres that jazz music has to offer. Tune in to Weekend Jazz on Friday evenings at 8 and Saturday evenings at 6 and 10 on BYU Idaho Radio 94.3 FM.
Hi everyone, I'm Craig Orndorff on the next Seems Like Old Times. We're going to have our Thanksgiving dinner. Musically, that is. Lots of records about and related to Thanksgiving, and that includes eating. And on the countdown this week, we'll have the biggest hits from the third weekend of November in 1953. So come listen to the memories on the next Seems Like Old Times.
Be inspired Friday night at 9 on BYU Idaho Radio.
You're listening to Tell Me About It. I'm Brandon Isle, and I'm here with Michelle Mead for our Media Matters segment. Michelle, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Today we're talking about Black Friday and Black Friday ads, and Woo-hoo! This is the season. Here we are. We're ready to shop and spend money and find all those gifts. Tell me, what have you found?
Well, I have to say I am not an enthusiastic Black Fridayer, but my husband loves it. So
Does he get up early and...
He gets up early. He'll go out for ages, but he's also been looking online at flyers. He goes to blackfriday.com in October, and he starts circling and making a list and checking it twice.
Right.
Yeah, so he's got it all booked. So really, I'm more of an attendee. But that's his thing. He just loves to go through that. And so I decided to look online and see if there's anything else that you could get flyers from. If you're not somebody who likes to have the tangible copies, I like tangible copies. But if you don't mind finding out in advance, there's three different areas. The first one is blackfriday.com. That is the one that my husband uses and swears by. And then the other one is bestblackfriday.com. Both of those have loads of flyers, not necessarily just the big names, but also some smaller name businesses as well. So you can find out from there. And then there's a website called Penny Pinch and Mom. And this is more if you're looking for discount codes and things if you like to do your online shopping.
Yeah, I know that's my wife. She loves deals, but... She doesn't want to go to the store.
correct. Yeah. So Penny Pinching Mom is a really good site for that. That will give you kind of codes to type in, but also gives you access to some of the flyers and deals that are out there. But also, in just keeping in mind, if you're not really a person who wants to go and wrestle with the other 5,000 people at Walmart, you decide to just buy things online, there's a few interesting things that you can do. There's a place called retailmenot.com and then freeshipping.org, and that will find all the available discounts for each store. And then also, if you look up their Facebook pages and their Twitter pages, there are often deals for stores that are only posted there. So whether you're going to buy them online or go in, look on all your social media for things from Walmart and Target, and then your local stores that you're quite interested in going to.
And speaking of local stores, I just saw in the Post Register today, they're printing their Black Friday ads, which go in their Thanksgiving Day paper, on Wednesday, and they say hot off the presses, but you can get it Wednesday afternoon. So even before you're eating turkey and everything, you can have those local ads in your hands. So these are some local ones that you can be sure to get. They're selling those copies for $3. So if that's worth it to you to get those tangible things, make sure you have
it. So I like the tangible ones because you can then circle and plan out your route. But if you're interested in knowing all the deals in advance, even before Wednesday, then you need to go on one of the online sites and then make a list yourself, which can be a bit onerous, but, you know, life is hard.
Now, Black Friday's really changed in the last, I'd say, five years. It used to be you had to be in line at a certain time, like 11 o'clock on Thanksgiving night. But now it's just so different. You're not standing in line so much anymore. What do you think is driving that?
They want to sell as much stuff as they can. I found quite a few places like JCPenney that is having sales all week long. So they want to be pulling you in on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And each time they have different doorbusters. And I think that's going to be more of what's happening. The longer they can spread out this time of people coming in and impulse buying, because that's what it's about, is the more impulse buying you can do, then the better. So they're stretching out. But I saw this interesting thing. I think it's 65-68% of consumers want to find a deal. And so whether it's online or whether you're going in a store, most of your shoppers want to find some fabulous deal.
Yeah.
And so everybody's doing that, but they're trying to stretch it out for a longer period of time.
Yeah. And then it goes into the Cyber Monday.
Uh-huh.
And then I think we have Small Business Saturday happening the weekend before.
Yep.
So it's just everywhere.
It's stretching out. So what about your shopping habits? Do you end up doing Cyber Monday and Small Business Saturday?
I love Black Friday. I like to be there. I worked in TV news for a number of years, and I would work the shift that would have the nightly news. So on Thursday night, so Thanksgiving night, I'd finish my shift about 11 o'clock, and then I'd go stand in line and find the deals that way. But it's just not the same anymore. So
it's really not the same. And also, I find it's not as crowded. You still get long lines, and it's good to have two people. So you have one person in line and the other person doing the shopping.
Bring the walkie-talkies.
Bring the walkie-talkies. Good idea. Don't wear red if you're in Target, by the way. Don't do that. But it's just not as bad as it used to be, which is quite fabulous for those of us that like to go out and touch things and feel things.
I think last year I went and I didn't even get to the stores until like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock Friday morning, and they still had the things I wanted, and I was totally fine.
Because
I don't typically go after the big ticket,
high
discount items. It's just more of the, we need this thing right now. So
yeah. There are a number of sites available where you can find out what the best deals are.
Mm-hmm.
Same with the BlackFriday.com gives you kind of the best deals. They'll like sort it out and say, if you're really interested in a big ticket item like a big screen TV or phones, they'll tell you and they'll break it down for you as well. So that's kind of good for those of us who don't want to stand in line.
Yeah. Well, good luck to everybody on your Black Friday shopping, whether you're online, in person, or not at all. This is Media Matters, and Michelle Mead, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
I should also note, if you want to get your local ads early and don't subscribe to the Post Register or Standard Journal or your local newspaper, you can pick up a copy at most area grocery stores, and that copy is $3. Now, Virginia, are you a Black Friday shopper?
I don't consider myself a Black Friday shopper, but if I look at growing up, I did go Black Friday shopping a lot with my dad's side of the family, because that's who we always had Thanksgiving with. And I didn't mind it because I was with my family. But for me to go by myself, it's not going to happen.
Not a joy at all.
No.
No. Okay. Interesting.
Across the nation, businesses are gearing up for Christmas shopping season. Locally owned business hope you can give them some love on Small Business Saturday. Student reporter Alec Pope has the story.
Black Friday is coming up next week, but don't let big companies let you forget what is happening on your local Main Street. Small Business Saturday is a nationwide effort to curb the rush on chain stores and promote the support of local businesses. Rhett Harris is an associate at Mike's Music in Rexburg. He says there are challenges facing businesses in Rexburg today.
I think a lot of it's like an internet market now. Like that's hard to compete with a lot of times when, you know, we serve just a small rural area in Idaho and, you know, Amazon serves the entire world. Like, they can knock down their prices a lot more than we can. Mm-hmm.
In an increasingly digital age, small businesses in Rexburg are trying to remind you that they can offer more than just a cheap product in exchange for your credit card information.
I'd say a lot of it could be like knowledge that people have about it. So like we try and advertise on Facebook and we have an Instagram now. And I think just a lot of people don't know we're here, that mm-hmm. like kind of the services that we offer, like people come in all the time and be like, oh, you can fix my guitar, like mm-hmm. you can do this, you know, and they just don't think that that's a possibility.
Jacqueline Brunson, a sales associate at Alpine Jewelers, said something similar.
The main challenge as a small business and as a jewelry business is competing with online businesses. And a lot of that is you don't know what you're getting online.
Online shopping does offer convenience and often lower prices, but few would argue that local shops can be beat in their customer service. Small Business Saturday serves as a healthy reminder of the importance of trading convenience for community. J.C. Weber, manager of Circle of Love, reminds us of just that.
I think it's important we all work together, and that's why I love Small Business Saturdays, where we can all come together and shop locally.
For a list of your local businesses, check with your local Chamber of Commerce. For BYU Idaho Radio, I'm Alec Pope.
I really like this idea of Small Business Saturday. I went to the Art Museum of Eastern Idaho last weekend, where they have the Beau Cadeau event where local artisans sell their stuff. And that's one of my favorite events because it's helping local people. And you get this cool thing that is you're not going to find in some other store.
I have a lot of friends here at BYU Idaho who have their own little startup companies. One is a bread company, and she makes these amazing artisan breads. And when she goes to the pop-up shops and she doesn't sell enough, then she will give it to us. And it's just really great. I'm like, why don't I get this more often?
Yeah. So support your local shops on Small Business Saturday. Now, today on weekdays on BYU Idaho Radio, we have an interview with Amy Carr from the Idaho Falls Arts Council. There are plenty of shows coming to Idaho Falls to celebrate the season.
The week after Thanksgiving, the Broadway play Finding Neverland is coming. This is a show about the man who wrote Peter Pan. The week after that, Under the Street Lamp is coming. Under the Street Lamp is a quartet of men who are all from the original cast of Jersey Boys. They will perform a holiday show along with their regular music from the 60s and 70s.
The Idaho Falls School of Ballet will put on a show, The 12 Days of Christmas.
And they do really high quality presentations. So they're definitely one that's fun to watch, especially if you want a ballet that isn't the Nutcracker you've seen a bunch.
The Idaho Ballet Theater will be putting on the Nutcracker on December 7th, 8th, and 10th.
To listen to the whole interview, listen to weekdays at 6:45. And to get a full list of events happening in Idaho Falls, go to idahofallsarts.org. You can also find the full interview online at byui.edu/radio or on our Facebook page, just like BYU Idaho Radio.
Now, thanks for listening to our new show, Tell Me About It. We'll be back again in 2 weeks with more local news and interviews.
Our theme music comes from BYU Idaho student composers Alex Watson and Anders Nelson. Find this show and our other podcasts on social media or wherever you get your podcasts. Just like, follow, and subscribe to BYU Idaho Radio.
Coming up on All Things Considered from NPR News, the Catholic Church hasn't announced how it will deal with sexually abusive priests, and the faithful are angry and frustrated. That story just ahead.